Welcome to the Day One Podcast Extra. This is Peter Wallace, and with me today is the Reverend Dr. David Galloway, who is rector of Holy Innocents Episcopal Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Peter.
I wanted to ask you, you have a number of roles as a rector of a large, thriving suburban church, pastor, preacher. You've got a school, very large, thriving school. Do you have any secrets you can share for balancing all those?
Yep. When I first got there, I really, at the end of the first year, I was afraid I was going to go under because it was so much work. And I, my pastor was Dan Matthews, who's up in at Trinity Wall Street. And I always remember Dan taught me that you surround yourself with bright people. And so my first job was to get this my staff right and to get the organization right. And so one of the things in being the rector or the pastor of a large parish is you really have to learn to delegate. The very things that would make you successful in a small parish will kill you in a large parish. Mm-hmm. In a small parish, the pastors look to do just about everything.
Right.
And in my setting, I really have to delegate. If I don't, I'm going under. So the key is not to micromanage and to hire people to do the work you need to have done. Mm-hmm. Have an excellent headmaster at the school, Kirk Duncan, who is just one of the most brilliant people I've ever known. I have John Porter, who serves as the vicar at the parish, who takes care of day-to-day pastoral issues. Mm-hmm. And I have to authorize them to do the work that needs to be done. So that's the way I do it.
You talked a little bit about the school, and it's been established for a number of years, but I'm curious as to why that outreach is so important to that particular parish.
Well, I think we've always had the DNA in the place is about education. That's true in the parish. I mean, we have, I think, the most excellent Christian education program in the diocese and beyond. But we also do that for our wider community. We want to provide a place that's an alternative to other schools. Mm-hmm. We say that we're about the issue of balanced excellence. And how that is meted out is that we have really rigorous academics. We have participative athletics. We have really a stunning creative art program. And all of that is supported by a spiritual base. We actually have four chaplains on the staff, four priests who serve on my staff, and they do a great job with the kids. We really do try to honor the traditions. We have a lot of Baptist students. We have a lot of Methodist students. We have a lot of Jewish students. And we have, I think, around 25% Episcopalians. But we really do try to honor everybody's tradition. And but we do operate out of this notion in the Episcopal Church, which is we respect the dignity of every human being. And that means we don't try to make them into what we want them to be. We try to provide balanced excellence that teaches them. I call it a preparatory school for life, not for college, but to live life as good citizens of our land.
In a number of places throughout your ministry, you've used media to share the good news, radio, local TV. You talked a little bit about that on our regular program.
Right.
But why has that been important to you, using the media?
Well, I think the bottom line is communication. I joke about the fact when I started as a preacher, I came out of graduate school and my task was to show everybody how clever I was, how bright I was. So after a while, I learned that the real task is to communicate. And the best place to communicate may not be in a formal worship service. I mean, I love the Episcopal worship. I love what we do there with symbols and sacraments, and that's really the bread and butter of what I do. But for people who are not in church on Sunday morning, the number one way to get the message out is, I think, is through television or radio and print. Just finding new and innovative ways to get out there that God loves people and calls them to a joy. I think that the unfortunate thing in a lot of media, religious media in the past, has focused on the negatives, telling people how bad they are. And I think that's not the way to go. And I'm very impressed with the way in which, like, for example, Day One and other programs like that reach out to people who wouldn't darken the doors of a church for whatever reason. But they can listen over the radio in the privacy of their home and hopefully would be lured, if you will, into coming to church. And hopefully we're ready when they come with a welcoming statement, making sure they feel like they're loved. And as we used to say in the Episcopal Church, is that if you come to church, we promise not to throw the book at you. And so we do have a wonderful community with people who are really about the task of growing as Christians. Our vision statement is real important to me, which is Holy Innocence is a place where grace happens and disciples grow. And that holds that kind of tension, that gracefulness, that you are welcome here just as you are. But at the same time, we're calling you to discipleship in which you grow. And both of those have been crucial in Christian identity through the centuries, and we're just trying to make it real now.
And this may come as a surprise to some of our listeners, but you are admitted introvert.
Yes.
Although you don't always come across that.
I don't come across that way at all.
How do you deal with that? I've noticed a lot of great pastors and preachers consider themselves introverts.
When I'm tested, I turn out sort of right a borderline between introvert and extrovert. Mm-hmm. But I think of myself as being socialized. As I was growing up in school, I always had leadership positions, and so I sort of learned to be an extrovert. But as my wife will tell you, when I'm in front of people on a Sunday morning, it means that I have to really take care of myself in the afternoon by having some quiet time. I tend to enjoy reading, music, ways to refresh myself. And I have to be real honest. I've been real honest with my parish about that. I think I am an enigma because you look at me and I'm up front. I hold forth. But the truth of the matter is I'm very introverted, and I think I get more so as I grow older. And so I do a lot of writing, things that get my recharge my spirit. So it really is a question of balance. It's a matter of doing that, and that's where my spirituality allows me some time to be honest with myself about that.
I want to ask you a couple questions about preaching.
Sure.
The sermons that you recorded for our program were so interesting, and they both started with very interesting stories. But I'm wondering, is that a common thread in your preaching, or what's your philosophy of preaching?
Yeah, I'm a big storyteller. It comes for me naturally, being a Southerner. I think we tend to be good storytellers. But I want to present a story that is that's illustrative of the concepts that I'm going to be trying to tease out. And so I keep a journal, and I'm always writing down stories of interactions that I have with people or something that I hear about. Sometimes I invent stories, and that's fun. We used to say in Texas, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. But I love telling the story, and I think that's where people relate. And I always move that to the front end of the sermon, because that's where I think you hook people, and they're now interested. And now, what's he going to do with this story? One of my colleagues, John Porter, is, I think, the best storyteller I've ever heard. And he generally, I'll kid him, he does about three or four stories in one sermon. And I try to narrow it to one and then do a little conceptual work. But that's pretty much, there are other times that I move out of that and try to experiment with other forms. But I think that's really, I think that's one of my strengths. I learned that, I think, when I was at Emory and I worked with Dr. Jim Fowler at the Center for Faith Development. And my job was to sit down and interview people about their faith. And my job was in 2 or 3 hours was to tease out how they thought about the world, how they thought about God. And I really sincerely enjoyed listening to the life stories of people. Everybody has a life story. Some people don't tell it well. Some people are a little boring with the way they tell their story. But I think everybody has one. And the greatest gift, I really learned this at the Center for Faith Development, the greatest gift you can give somebody is to listen to their story and try to understand that story. So when I'm telling a story in a sermon, I'm trying to bring that to the universal, where people, no matter what theological camp they may reside in, they get the story, because it's very human.
Is there a particular message or messages that you think people need to hear more from pulpits today?
Well, I think, again, it's contained, I think, in the vision statement, which is where grace happens and where disciples grow. I think that the Episcopal Church has been very good about announcing and proclaiming the grace of God, and that's why I'm an Episcopalian. I think we're really good at that, and that's a centerpiece for most things that I do. But I also think we need to be about the task of calling people to intentionality in terms of being a disciple. I think that for many people who have come out of more fundamentalist traditions, they are what I call spiritual refugees. They know they don't want to do that, but they don't know what they want to do, and they have trouble envisioning how I could be intentional and committed as a disciple. And I think churches need to find ways to invite people to this is the word that one of my favorite words is winsome, to be winsome in the way in which we present the gospel, so people get there. And then you have something in structure that will help them to grow in faith. So they don't just come and sort of, you know, bask in the grace, which is wonderful. But you're also calling them to be like Jesus, to take on the Christ life. And that's sort of what I was trying to get at in one of the sermons.
Dr. David Galloway, thank you for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Peter.